order. Roll call. Chair is Tyler is here.
Present.
Katie Lowe's.
Present.
Hey, Katie. Robert Graham. Robert. Tim Brangle.
Robert,
I think
is.
Tim is going to join late, is what I heard.
And I saw Raj is on here.
Yes.
Walter, I saw you, right?
Yep.
Carr Preston. And Liz Holt.
Yep, present.
Okay, we have a quorum. Now is the time for any public comments. And I'm looking around the room here. We do have one public attendee, and that is Bob.
Did you call Robert Graham?
He did. You popped Robert, off, yeah. Right when he did.
Yep, so, I have you now, though.
So, hey, Brian, can I steal the thunder?
Please do.
So I wanted just to share with the Economic Development Commission that we successfully closed Lake and Lathrop today. So we've got our $175,000 of additional money in the bank for the permit, and they should be rocking and rolling. So
when you say you closed, you mean their construction loan, right?
They closed their construction loan, right? Right. Yeah.
Right. So.
And, you know, and the turnover from the village to them. So they're off to the races. So so we're pretty excited about it. It's been a long road. But I think between, you know, Brian and Lisa and the team at Village Hall, Kathy and these, you know, here and past, I think it's going to turn out to be a great project for the village. So I just wanted to share that this evening.
Thanks, Bob. I would like to have that made. Notice in the notes that this happened under my job as chair of the EDC. No, I'm kidding, of course. Do we know if there's any, thanks for all the hard work. Do we know if there's any communication that's going to be going to our friends over at oakpark.com and the Wednesday Journal? They've been pretty quick to report of all the delays. I wonder if we'll have some sort of similar report with the fact that it's closed and moving forward.
Brian, did Kathy give you any direction on that?
Yeah, nothing directly to the media, but we do have a statement that's going out in the weekly e-news that goes out on Friday. And as well, we just crafted, and why I was running late getting here is we just finished crafting the comment that goes up on our website. So, and that's been shared with the village board as well.
That's really good news. It's awesome. That's great for everyone.
You know, I have to say it's been a very interesting first way to get introduced to the community. It's been a very long and stress-filled project for everybody here. And, you know, I do want to thank everybody that's been involved in this to get it to where it is today, you know. And especially do want to thank both Kathy and Bob for the tutelage that they gave me to help bring me up to speed as quickly as I needed to get there. So big shout out to Bob and Kathy and others, but namely Bob and Kathy.
That's great. All right. Well, we could end the meeting there. That's good news. That's been a long time coming. So that I'm sure that's a weight off everyone's collective shoulders. And again, I agree, but echo Brian's part. Thank you, Bob and Kathy, and everyone who's been involved. That's great. Hopefully we can keep the momentum going. So Brian, you were going to say there was someone there. Was there a comment that needed to take place? Any comments?
No, actually, I was being a little cheeky that there was nobody in the room, Kyler.
I gotcha.
Not yet.
Did everyone have a chance to review the minutes from the last meeting? And if so, were there any questions? All right, hearing none, make a motion to approve the meetings as presented for December 8th, 2021. All in favor, or can I get a motion?
Walfeld. Oh.
Walter made the motion. Who seconded?
Second.
It's Carl Preston.
Carl will second. Thank you.
All in favor?
We have a motion and a
second. Yep, go ahead.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign?
Aye.
You opposed? Who opposed?
I don't believe anyone.
late aye. Gotcha. Okay.
I can move forward. So we had a meeting. I'll set him up. He knows needs no introduction. Our guy John, we had a meeting with Lisa, Brian, John Halcyon, and myself last Friday. I've been trying to get over there and meet with Brian a couple times just to see where his head's at. I can tell you we got a great guy in the position here. I'm really excited. I think we got good things ahead for River Forest, certainly when it comes to the Economic Development Commission and everything that kind of is under his umbrella. I see a lot of things. I'm very rarely blown away. I was sort of blown away by the presentation that John provided and what he's going to be able to do. If you don't know John, I think many of you do, but if you don't know him, he's part of a consulting firm that he's a partner of, and they do strategic planning. If there's others that can describe this better than myself, but they do strategic planning for different communities, domestically for the most part, but starting to expand on an international basis. We're talking, you know, Elk Grove to Dallas right now. He's doing one. He's considered by far a leader in the field. He's actually able to amass some technology that, and Brian, I forget, what's the name of the company he's?
Oh, yeah, so
EIS?
Esri, E-S-R-I, yeah.
And so they do data collection and they provide, and again, I don't know a ton about this, so he can probably fill in a lot of the blanks, but while he's absent, I can tell you this. They do data entry and they're able to, for lack of a better term, what he's doing right now is he's able to do a three. He already has this because it's his backyard, but he has a 3D printout, a gaming system. You know, imagine a first person gaming system. He has that already. It needs some work set up for River Forest. So, you know, Katie, when we were talking about using Walter's position where, you know, you can click on something and say all the information there. His system actually allows you to walk, look at a building and say, I wonder what that would look like with four stories, instantaneously four stories. I wonder what that would look like with awnings, with a setback. And I'm not kidding you, instantaneously, you could see everything. This is a game changer. This is tomorrow's, you know, technology today. It's really, it's no short of amazing to the point where he can make the streets look exactly the way they look. The stop signs, if there's a dent in them, he can put a dent. I mean, it's beyond amazing. And it's really something that, you know, quite frankly, if he wasn't a resident here, we probably would not have access to. He is. They've already been using River Forest and his office downtown just to tinker with this, you know, just to kind of see. He knew the area so that he was using it as kind of his guinea pig. This is a starting point that allows us to do quite a bit, as you can imagine. Not only does it allow us to do things, you know, when it comes to our planning, you know, as a community on what we want in terms of green space, you know, where we want to go in terms of elevation, you know, zoning and things of that nature, but what a tool that we can provide to developers or anyone. I don't want to speak out of turn, Walter. Maybe you've seen it. I've never seen anything like this that is relative, not real time, but, you know, up to date, structural, walking around and seeing what their building could look like on the spot. You know, it could help with, you know, in terms of the park district. The troubles we have with paddle over there, what's that look like? And all of these things. it could be a relative solution to, or at least give us eyes on something that we would otherwise just be able to say, well, we think it will look like this, or it might be that, you know, we'll be able to say exactly. So the idea then would be, the next step is, you know, to have John explain it. Hopefully, I think he'll have a YouTube that will show exactly what it looks like, so you'll get an idea. But it is, we've all seen our kids, or we played them ourselves maybe once or twice, you know, the gaming situation, the Mortal Kombat, where you're walking around and you can go anywhere in the community. That's what we're talking about here. In terms of, you know, next steps, where this leads us to, it will probably, the next thing we have to do is, you know, finish it, make sure it's complete, so that we can start talking with different retailers and developers and things of that nature. But, you know, coterminously speaking with our zoning group, you know, in almost every one of the developments that we have, there's a zoning variation. And we're not talking about residential, we're talking through our corridors. Every one of the times that someone's putting a building up, it's not to code. It's not to our zoning, current zoning. It's silly, you know, we're showing him, oh, here's the FAR, but really you can do this. I mean, it's silly. So I understand, as a lifelong River Forestian, I understand trying to keep River Forest the way it is, to a degree, the way it is. What makes it awesome is what we love about it, right? So I understand the zoning aspects of why they put into place, but if we're able to show what it would look like to our zoning committee, and we're starting the conversations with them, we could show that this would not affect, you know, it wouldn't change River Forest. We're not talking about being Oak Park, where we're throwing up 30, you know, story residential units over there. And there's John right here, the man with the silver tongue. I mean, it's just, I ruined it all for you, John. I spoiled the punch. So I gave him kind of a background, a little bit of what we talked about, John, on some of the implications and a little bit of the excitement around it. I downplayed your greatness, so I'm sure you could pick me up where that's concerned. I'll let you, unless people have questions here, I'd love to turn it over to John.
All right, I've got it.
Go for it. You got to be very clear. Sorry. Yeah.
All right, I've got it. Hi, everybody. Good to see you. I know a lot of you, but maybe not all of you. John Housiel, Villages Planning Consultant, resident for 22 years, Village Planner for 23 years.
Yeah, from there. Yeah.
But I'm going to want to load this up on the, it's too much to load it, run up here. I want to put it on your.
Okay. But John's just uploading some materials that he's going to share with us all on the screen. So we'll wait a minute while he's loading that up. To piggyback off of what Kyler said, and how this conversation all got started, and where we'd like to go with this, is that this committee has been doing just some fantastic brainstorming and ideas on how to elevate our economic development efforts here in River Forest, and you all have just fantastic expertise in so many different areas, and I'm really looking forward to meeting each of you individually and collectively. I've heard a lot of great things about everybody and the like. But as we were brainstorming about where we are as a community, there are, and this came up during my interview and in other places, the village has done quite a lot of heavy lifting over the years in developing a new comprehensive master plan, in developing a corridor study, in developing safe routes to schools report, in creating sustainability goals and objectives, in approving a affordable housing plan and age-friendly and DEI-related goals and objectives. The one thing that doesn't match up with any of those items, though, is our zoning ordinance. So it becomes very difficult for us as a community to actually have development come through without it needing some level of a variance, right, and the long process that comes involved with in that. And so the question came to, and I was having a great conversation with John about how do we show what those changes would look like in this 3D model thing that John had done years ago on one piece of property here in the village. And John shared with me, he said, "Well, Brian, you have no idea what we've actually been able to do and where we can take this if you guys are up for it." So that's part of what tonight is to show you the really cool stuff that John and his firm are doing with Esri. And for those of you that, and I know most of you on here have some experience with Esri and that firm, so I won't bore you too much with it, but they really are the geospatial experts on the globe, and John's firm is directly connected with them. And so the hope was is that we could marry the great technology that John is doing with the strength of the folks that are on this committee to actually take on making the changes to our zoning ordinance so that it comports with the different things that are happening with the different studies that we've already completed. And then as well to work with the modeling systems that John can do to develop a proper strategic plan for our TIF district, especially on North Avenue. And then lastly, to be able then have these awesome tools and capabilities to properly promote and encourage development as we want it here in River Forest.
All right. So if I can, again, thanks for the delay. I was just trying to load up some stuff onto the desktop. We'll see if this laptop can run it. So a couple things, and Kyler, I apologize if I'm repeating some of what you've already said. But I think from talking with Kyler and talking with Brian and others, I think what we'd like to do in River Forest, if we could, I think we've got the opportunity to begin to marry planning, zoning, DRB, pending and approved developments, economic development, a variety of different things. And we can do so in a state-of-the-art 3D GIS platform for every parcel and every structure in the Village of River Forest. So it's GIS aggregated data over a 3D platform where you could, and it's the entire platform would service and be an outward-facing engagement. So while there'd be a back end that the village administration and village planning or whatever could do and manipulate, all the 3D, you do not need complicated software to run it. Anybody can look at it on their phone or on their computer at home. People would be able to look at pending applications. The Economic Development Commission could look at different development scenarios for different properties. You could click on any property and volumetrically see the zoning, the square footage, the height, the FAR that was permitted. And it's all in an immersive 3D environment. So there's a couple of different levels of detail that I think would be really helpful. A few years ago, and as Kyler indicated, we're business partners with Esri, and we're one of the few planning firms that is in the U.S. And more so than that, we're integrated pretty closely with their development and software utilization teams, so much so that when they're working on a new thing, they usually give it to us to look at well in advance of it being released to the public so we can test it and beat it up and then get back to them as to what is or isn't working well from a planning perspective. A few years ago, they started developing a thing called Urban, ArcGIS Urban. And we were given some early versions of it to test. And one of the things that we did, luckily, I've got the influence in our firm to do that, is we used River Forest as a lighthouse or a sandbox, if you will, to begin to see what urban applications could be in a built-out community. And so we just took it upon ourselves to apply. We have several urban licenses as a firm, but we established an urban platform for River Forest just so we could play around with this new tool. So I went back into our files and I pulled up our older GIS, our urban platform for River Forest. So I'm not able to run it off of this laptop or here because the village doesn't have an urban license, and we have them at the office. They have GIS, they have Esri GIS. An urban license, I think, would be maybe another $3,000 a year. But in order to manipulate it, since we have an urban license, we could do all of it for you as your staff or as your planner. If you wanted to have somebody on board do it from here as well as us, it's about $3,000 a license, just to let you know what the commitments are for software. So what I could do is I couldn't run it off of here, but I could run a video of it. So I worked with one of my technicians this afternoon, and I did a little 5-minute video of ArcGIS Urban for River Forest that we've got in our. So if we go to, all right, go ahead. Yeah, you'll have to share a screen. And I know I for those of you who know me, you know I talk really fast. So I don't need to apologize to you. You know what you're in for. But for those of you that don't know me yet, I apologize. I talk really fast.
Hey, John, is this the same detail that you have for like your office and what we saw downtown?
No, that's I'm going to be showing you that next. So there's two. That's a good question, Tyler. So the first thing I'm showing you is a GIS application called Urban. It's 3D-based GIS. And I'll show you what that begins to look like. But it's not sort of the photorealistic rendering immersive stuff, Kyler, that you're talking about. The next thing I'm going to run after this, and it took a few minutes to actually load it up, is I actually loaded up on a thumb drive the software I need to run what we're doing for Morrisville and for Glen Ellen. The Morrisville, Kyler, is what I showed you, sort of the video gamification of immersive 3D for cities. But we're currently doing it for Glen Ellen. And so I brought the Glen Ellen example. And what that is, and I'll get into it in a little bit, but what Kyler is talking about is we create a 3D digital twin of a community. And we did this for downtown Glen Ellen, where we procedurally model all of the existing buildings in the community. And then we are able to immersively put into place and geolocate any proposed development or concept, and we can make it like a first-person shooter game, like a video game, where anybody can use their phone or their computer and drop into it as if they're a person in the video game. And they can walk around the community and look at the development, and at any point in time, they can toggle between different scenarios to see which one they like the best. So we'll get to that, Kyler, what we're doing for Glen Ellen. In fact, Glen Ellen liked it so much, they were the first city, I think, in the country. It's now part of their development approval process. The developer's architect has to give to Housey Levine a 3D file that we then drop into our virtual 3D twin of their development. So the plan commission, city council, any resident can go online and immerse themselves into the downtown and see what the development would actually be like. And since we've done that, feedback from developments have been revised based on feedback, and every development I've got in our software to show you guys tonight has been approved and is either coming out of the ground or will be soon in downtown Glen Ellen. But I thought that was better than the Morrisville one because it's a neighbor and it's close. So with that, let me do this first. So what this is, and hopefully this will show up for you guys. Let me expand it. But this is, can you see that or no? Maybe not.
They're not seeing that yet. All right, so do what you got to do. Hello. Just a second. Art? Wait a second. No, hang on here. Art, here, take my phone. Got Laura? Here.
Hey, there's the girl.
Oh, baby.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I got you.
My poor Excel sheet just doesn't even stand a chance.
I know, Katie, I thought of you.
I mean, who knew this existed?
I thought of you, but there's still a way for you to do input of it. I'm sure we're going to find a way for you to do
it. We got some back-end data maybe for it.
Exactly.
I'm going to minimize you guys. So you guys, can you guys, everybody see the screen I've got here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, the first thing I'm going to show you is not sort of the cool gamification that I'll show you in a little bit, But this is what I think GIS can be for River Forest. And as the village undertakes a complete overhaul of its zoning, first of all, in 22, 23 years, I've done all the development, all the zoning, all the planning, all the whatever for the village. For anything that's come out of the ground, the village has never done a comprehensive overhaul of its zoning. They've done the comprehensive plan twice, the corridor plans twice, they've done the affordable housing, they've done a few other things here or there, but they've never gone back and looked at their zoning. They've updated the residential FAR in the districts, they've amended the PUD process from time to time. My firm redid the sign ordinance a few years ago because of some new Supreme Court ruling that had to be done. So we had to change the sign ordinance to meet new federal law, but they've never done a comprehensive thing. So what this would allow us to do is actually map zoning, not just in a stale document, but we could actually map it to what I'm going to show you here. So I'll sort of navigate as we go through this, but this is a little video. So this is just a video I put together this afternoon, but if the village goes this route, this would be an outward facing platform that anybody could use. Just they could log on to the village's website and just do this. So I'll kind of play this and you guys can, and I can stop it at any point in time. So this is just a map of the village. You've seen this a million times. Plan view, 2D, pretty normal. But as you zoom in, you'll see that this is populated with every structure, detached garage, single family home, church, whatever. And it's actually not a 2D plan view like all zoning ordinances are or maps are. This is actually an interactive 3D model of the entire village. So anybody can pull this up and begin to isometrically go through this. And you can see that everything in here, every structure in the village is modeled to what exactly exists on the ground now. Now, we did this a couple years ago, and tech is even better now. But so as you scroll over it, you'll be able to see all the different buildings in the village. And you can fly and look at your home if you want. And if you click on a parcel, and again, I'm not controlling this, so I'm talking this narration. As you click on a parcel, what you'll see off to the side is zoning is R2. It's 75,080 square feet. Maximum height is 35 feet. Maximum lot coverage is 30%. Maximum density units. It has everything that comes up for that parcel when you click on it. You can also click another button and see what the volumetric is for build out of that, what the building envelope is of any given site. There it is for the church. And again, so PRI, so roughly a 20,000 square foot site, maximum height is 40 feet, maximum coverage is 50%. And you can do this for every structure, everything in the village. I also did sort of, I know this is the vacant area behind the bank, but it shows you even vacant what the zoning is, C3, max height 50 feet, maximum FAR 2.5. So you could do this for any property in the village. So it's 3D zoning, and you could populate the dashboard with any detail you want, PIN numbers, FAR, lot coverage, number of units, parking requirements. You could literally codify your zoning in a 3D immersive format. So the other thing that you can do on this and tie it back to DRV or economic development is you can pin individual properties. So we can pin recent development approvals. We can pin pending development approvals. We can pin development opportunity sites. So I'm going to walk you through some of what these might look like. So again, I'm just panning around to show you what you can do. This is all geolocated. So we can, you know, say, what would the shadow be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on October 20th to see what the impact would be on a neighbor. So again, what I'm going to do real quick here or narrate is we click on the pin there. These are tied to DRB applications. We just did this real quickly. So this was the West Annex link up here at the Concordia University. So it talks what the application was, what the application name was, what the project description is, DRP, the date of DRB approval. This is another one. This is when the development of the dormitory over on Bonnie Bray. So we have the residence hall, we have the height of the building, how many dormitory rooms are in it, when it was approved by the DRB and the village board. You click on another. So I just tied these to like the last 10 recent DRB approvals. You click on what used to be TCF Bank, and I apologize, it doesn't show the three residential. And we've not modeled in here the new development, but you click on that and you'll see the senior care facility. It's a 4 stories or 68 feet tall, the number of care facility units. So we're able to tie this not only to zoning, but you could flip a switch and then also use it as an economic tool to say, here are recent approvals, here are pending approvals. Residents can come in and see what the DRB is considering. Here's another one. So again, click on this one. This is going to be Lake and Lathrop. And you'll see over on the left-hand side of the screen are all the DRB applications. And so we're just, you click on it and it has a picture of it. Then it has, and so this has a little bit more storied history. So project description, location, update, update, update. It gives a running update as to the process of that site. So residents could click on it knowing it's a DRB pending application and see the status of it until it's built. So pretty cool tool to track approved, pending, or considered DRB approvals, as well as development potential. So this is the Heinz Lumber Company site. Again, 29 townhomes, 3 stories tall, 36 feet. It has a photograph. And it's, some of these are really richly populated, like Lake and Lathrop. This one is very sparsely. Again, we pulled this together pretty quickly to demo this for today. And then you could go not only pending applications, but concepts. So we'll go to Madison Street between Lathrop and Ashland and click on that. And what you'll see there is just a rendering we did a couple years ago. It was a volumetric study that showed retail square footage, 5 stories tall, the number of square footage of retail, 81 residential units, 203 parking spaces. And this is a 3D model we have back at the office, but this, and I did this at the last minute before I jumped on the train, this could be populated with another little video or another virtual walk around and give you all the details of that development. Or you could say, here's 4 different concepts for this one site. So this is just a little quick 5-minute thing of what the outward facing side of approved applications for development, pending applications for development, zoning information, building information, parcel information can all be done in this sort of a thing. So it's not a static map or static PDF, but a fully updatable, fully integratable, fully immersive 3D ordinance and development tracking program for the Village of River Forest. So we've been playing around with this for a while. The software is called Urban. It's their, Esri's newest product. Cities are beginning, it took a while to get traction, but now cities are rapidly becoming to come on board just because the utility of it is mind blowing. So this is one of the things we think that we could do. Well, not I think we could do it because we're doing it for River Forest, but if we did zoning and really began to tie it to economic development and really began to tie it back to other initiatives, you could cross pollinate this several different ways as a referenceable platform. So that's something I think that we have the potential to do and really raise the bar for something that nobody else is doing in Illinois and only a few cities are doing in the country right now. The next thing I'm gonna show you, if it'll load, is pretty cool.
And my question is, well, I'll wait, I'll save it
for you. I'm sorry, yeah, ask questions, yeah.
Anyone have any questions after seeing that?
I'll just applaud. I think it's awesome.
And that's not for nothing, not that that's that awesome, but if you thought that was great, the next thing is pretty mind-blowing.
Exactly.
So to me, That's the zoning map of the future. Well, no, there won't be any zoning maps per se. You could get a printout of that, but like everything else we live in now, until zoning moves to TikTok, this is as fun as it's going to get. So if you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. I see Wally up there smiling. Yeah. So
my God, kids. It's time sucking.
So we'll see if. Okay.
While you're pulling that up, John, I mean, it is interesting. As a committee, we met and we've been talking about trying to pull something together that's, you know, visualization. And we were literally talking about photographs of existing structures and putting it on a site with, you know, suggestions for development. This is about 10 times what we were thinking, just what we've seen so far. And definitely from my perspective, being in the industry, developers need this, because half the time, yeah, some have imagination, but it's if they don't know what the village would support, what the zoning would allow, they're just, you know, stabbing in the dark. And this is, you know, this is just perfect.
It's so funny that we were just, that was our big thing we were going to do. And this guy sitting on Gail over there, twiddling his thumbs, has this already up and ready to go. So, and then when you see, and I'm interested to see if we're going to be able to add links. So the next thing that you might see is sort of the gamification, which might be my favorite new word in the English dictionary of this. I'm wondering if there's going to be the ability to link that to will there be links that you're going to be able to look, let's say you're looking on Madison Avenue, you click on that property and then and all the information, is there going to be able to link there, you'd be able to go to from the zoning to see what it would look like and be able to fiddle around with that there?
Yeah, so what we're waiting on right now is one of the things I have to load on here requires admin approval, so to load it up here, so we're getting that right now.
What?
But to Kyler's point, a little bit of backstory before I run this, we do a decent amount of video game playing in my office. My staff works pretty hard, so we frequently would blow off steam, ordering food and beer and whatever, and I've got about 20 employees in Chicago, another few in California. And we will, all of our terminals are linked to Steam gaming networks. So we can divide up into teams and play video games against each other or as a team against somebody else. We do it just for fun. And a couple of guys in our office, one of the games we play is Counter-Strike. And one of the things you do when you play, it's a first-person game, it's immersive. One of the things you do is you select what map you want to play. You could be a warehouse in the middle of a desert or an airport or an office building, whatever. So for fun, a couple of guys in my office created a 3D environment of our office. And it looked exactly like our office. And then we have a lot of windows in our office. And so they said, well, it wouldn't be any good if the windows were just blank. We got to be able to see outside. So we modeled about 8 blocks of downtown Chicago down to the brick and mortar. And so when you're playing this game, if you want to get away from somebody, you can take your gun, shoot out a window, jump out the window, run up to the L platform, run across the L platform, jump on the roof of Starbucks and climb inside of Starbucks and hide behind the counter. We modeled all of that for a game. We're working in Mooresville, North Carolina. And we put on a seminar in California to show how to do this. And somebody saw a YouTube clip of it. And one of our clients in Mooresville was working on a new town center. Village had purchased hundreds of acres. They had a roundabout and a new library. And they've been debating for about 10 years whether to go 2 stories, 3 stories, 4 stories. They didn't want too much. And one of the people on staff said, could you do that for our downtown? And so we gamified in 3D immersive environments downtown Mooresville. And we brought it to city council, and city council for about 40 minutes played around, and they all ran around the downtown, and they could toggle between 2-story and 4-story development that we had modeled, some with parking structures, some with not. And at any point in time, you could toggle between scenarios. And there was a dashboard that said how many square foot of retail, how many parking spaces, how many residential units, the tax revenue per parcel. It would modify as you change the scenario as you're running around it. You could run into the neighbor's yard, turn around and look back at the downtown to see how it would impact the neighborhood. And in 40 minutes, the city council unanimously approved on a 4-story design. And they've been debating this for about a decade. So I showed that video clip a week ago or so. It's not coming up.
Yes, John.
We're getting some better IT people down here.
Okay. What I wanted to show was what we did in Glen Ellen, and it's not coming up. I need permissions to load it, and it's
Loading up on this. Is there a way to just show the YouTube that you had?
Yeah, I'll show the YouTube one while we continue to try to get admin rights.
And I'm curious, before we one question or two questions, is that what I saw before when the toggling between the 2 and the 4 stories? Is that something that we'd be able to do here in River Forest? Is my first question.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah,
second question is, will this eventually be something that us as a committee will be able to sit around and play video games and shoot each other in the streets of River Forest?
Wait, say that again, Kyler. I'm sorry.
Forget it. Just go. We can just watch the YouTube. I'll talk to you offline on that one.
is there a machine in, well, I can load it up. Can I load it up to this one or no? It's going to require a driver to run what I have. I maybe, let me try that. I might be able to do that. Let me try that.
While it's running,
let's
look at the YouTube. The one, I think that does a pretty good job of like.
Go on the internet, go to YouTube.
And then, so while that's getting up and running, is this something that, so you talked about the $3,000 to, if we wanted the software in the village, then is this something that the village is already purchasing, or how is this, how does the village get to use all this?
You can, so the village right now has Esri's ArcGIS. They have GIS. It's what everything, you know, utilities, infrastructure, roads, zoning, everything is mapped on GIS right now. Urban, the 3D application I just showed you, is a license that the village does not have. And I think that'd be about $3,000 a year or something like that. We have a license, so we could do it for the village. Any of the outward facing stuff could be viewed by anybody at any time without the software. But they wouldn't be able to go in and manipulate it, which you don't want outward, you know, the residents doing anyway. But if you wanted to have an administrator internally to do the GIS for you, and you've got GIS folks, it'd be like a $3,000 license or something a year.
And then in order to keep it updated, is that something that it's live and it's always feeding whatever feeds this thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is, the village has online GIS right now. So if we did what I showed you, whether we did it or whether the village had somebody do it internally, even if the village had somebody do it internally, we'd be able to, because we have a license, work with the village to keep it up to date. It could be up to date all the time. So any resident, anybody, at any point in time they pulled it up, the day after a DRB application went to the village board and the village board gaveled down approval, the next day or within a couple of days, we would have that 3D rendering with all the information and data loaded into the system. So it could be kept up all the time.
Does it pull from something or is it a manual input?
It pulls from something. So well, the data loaded up pulls from a database, yeah.
That we'd be inputting to anyways, regardless if we had this.
Correct.
So I'm gonna try. Maintenance, I think that's one of your points, Katie. Maintenance would be relatively simple. We're already doing the work. It's just
Absolutely. Yeah. And the interesting thing is what we have noticed is some of what's pushing the industry is young professionals coming out of school know some of this stuff. They might not know it well, but they're literate in that it exists, and they're going to cities and saying like, hey, who operates your urban platform? And they're going to be like, what? An urban platform? So kids are beginning to percolate up that know some of this stuff. So this is a video. What I was going to try to show you was this actually being up and running in Glen Ellyn. So if we can get the admin stuff, we'll do it. But and this was done, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. The stuff we're doing for Glen Ellyn is even way better than this. But you're able to drop into. So this is Morrisville, North Carolina. None of this exists. This is a development that we did for them in their town center. This is all just a big vacant field. And so we just toggled to 2 stories, and you can toggle back up to 4 stories. The dashboard between scenario A and B will give you the square footage of retail, the number of residential units, the number of parking spaces required. So you can see toggling back and forth between 2 and 4 stories, and all the dashboard stuff that comes up has lodging, public space, amenities. You can run anywhere you want to in this and view it. The neat thing about the Glen Ellyn example is we have the existing downtown Glen Ellyn modeled, and only new developments are put in, kind of like it would be for River Forest. So again, this is just a little video clip on YouTube, but you can see, you know, the trees have leaves and they're blowing around. If there's a water feature, you can see the water rippling. You can, so here you can toggle between 2 and 4 stories. The dashboard comes up. You can leave the dashboard on if you want to, and it'll give you all the information for number of units, parking, everything else. But this is what it's like. So what we've done for Glen Ellen, and I know we're going to try to have a few of you, you're all welcome to come to our office in a week or two. We're going to demo some of this stuff if you want. We'll bring Glen Ellen up on our system. And Glen Ellen, like, so the way we have it for Glen Ellen, anybody can log in and do that, resident. You don't need this special software. But to run it here for you to see, I need to put it on this computer. But with Glen Ellen, we have, you can, like, if you hit the M key, a map will come up of downtown Glen Ellen, and you can select a pre-select site on the map and click it, and the person will automatically drop to that point. All the existing buildings are in white and gray. All the new buildings are textured realistically in color. And if you want to, you can also hit T, and instead of walking or running around, you float up in the air. And you can be hovering above the building, so you could be from any possible perspective. And at any perspective, what we did in Glen Ellen, we're not toggling between concept A and concept B. We're toggling between the proposed development and existing conditions. And like, for instance, the last one that got approved was a multifamily development across the street from their library. And they were really concerned about what the impact was going to be on the library and would it work well with the library. So we actually modeled realistically the library as well as the development across the street so people could see the relationship between the two. But this is the sort of thing that we did for Morrisville that we've now done for a few different places. And for those of you who can come to our office, we've actually done it now for an entire city in Saudi Arabia, which is pretty cool. And putting into place the contract to do the next 7 cities on the line, this thing called the line. So it's beginning to take off, but this is something that we can do for River Forest. So this would be on sort of, if we did it like Glen Ellen, we'd have to, we'd model the city. And then the way it is in Glen Ellen, it costs about $25,000 to set that up for the city initially for Glen Ellen. And then as an applicant comes online with the development proposal and they submit an application for the plan commission for plan PUD, they had to submit the 3D rendering, and it cost them, I think, about $1,500 or $2,000. It's just part of the application fee. And then we get that, and we put it into the model so residents and elected officials and stuff can see what the development looks like. And then they don't have to wonder or have a hard time thinking how it would look. They will know. And like I said, it's even a higher level than what you're seeing here on the screen for Morrisville, which is a couple of years old. But again, this is a video of this guy doing this. But if River Forest did this, you'd be the one controlling where that guy goes. And if you want, you can jump up on the cars and get into trouble and stuff. But you could look at it from any perspective you want. So the ability to do this would be the initially setting up of the system. Would be the initial setting up of the system for River Forest. And then tying back a small fee to the applicants to put it into the system. That's if the village wanted the requirement. That's what that Glen Ellen is doing. But what Morrisville did, they didn't do it for all development. They just did it for ones that they wanted to see, the village. So we could model out scenarios for Madison Street. We could model out scenarios for key sites along North Avenue that are in the TIF district. And you could pay for it out of TIF funds. You know, there's a lot of sites up there that are challenging. So we could model the existing buildings that we don't want to touch. And then we could zero in on the few sites that we would like to see redeveloped and 3D immerse model them. Depending on how big the sites are, how many and where they are, we could get you guys a price. But like for Glen Ellen, like I said, it was about $25,000 to model the entire downtown. And it's a big downtown. And it's about $1,500, I think, the applicant has to pay to process it for each development application. And I think what we did for Morrisville was a giant town center. I think that was about $20,000 or $25,000 to do that entire massive downtown in the 2 different scenarios. But part of that was us coming up with the development scenarios, not a developer. That was us doing all that. So, and again, I apologize for not being able to. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, my name's Raj. So in our case, I think we're like one step further removed. I think in Glen Ellyn, perhaps they had, you know, they had a developer already lined up. I don't know what this, what the situation was in Glen Ellyn, whether they had a developer lined up and it was just a, you know, just getting the plans in. Now we are starting a little bit more removed from that point because we are trying to attract new development. So for example, whatever that lot that has the sign up now for development across from Village Hall, like when you have a vacant lot, for example, like how can we use this tool to be able to generate interest in the developer community, like to show them, like, I don't know what you call, like potential, right? Because right now they just go in there and they see just a vacant lot with, you know, it's grown with stuff in there and it is what it is, you know? And so without them having to go in and kind of without them, you know, developers should have some vision, but a lot of them perhaps don't, you know, so without them spending too much money,
I was going to say that's an excellent question. And you make a real good distinction between how Glen Ellyn is using it and how Morrisville is using it. When we do a lot of our planning work, a lot of times, and I would say most of the time when we do a plan, we will do what we call development opportunity sites, where we'll pick up a site, maybe small, maybe huge. We'll do pretty detailed market work to see what an actual viable development would be given the market. And then we'll do a visualization to show what that development could look like given market conditions. Not what it should look like, what it could look like. Because as Wally or any one of you can attest, there's an infinite number of ways development could manifest on a site, depending on what the developer wants to bring to bear. So our job is to visualize potential. And that's sort of, I would say, somewhere between what we're doing in Glen Ellyn and what we did in Morrisville, what I just showed you. Morrisville, we showed two different concepts. Those aren't proposed developments. Those are just concepts. So the city of Morrisville could get their heads around how they wanted to approach attracting a developer. All right. And now they said, hey, we're willing to go to four stories. We're willing to go to this kind of FAR. We're willing to look at this kind of density. And then developers would say, well, now I'm interested. Before you were talking about two stories, and I couldn't make those numbers work. So Morrisville demonstrated two different types of development concepts so the city could first figure out what they were comfortable with. But one of the things that we could easily do for, like, say, Lakin Park, right here across Village Hall, or Lutheran Family Services site, maybe including and then one excluding Pete's Automotive. And we could say, hey, and leveraging the two village-owned properties north of the alley, we could say, hey, if all this gets folded into the mix, these are the types of things we would entertain. These are the types of concepts. This is a sort of yield we think you could get. And we could do that working with you. You've got some folks on this group, obviously, that know market realities and retail environments, and we could work with the EDC working with us. We could come up with a viable concept, not a proposed development, but a concept that telegraphs a viable aspiration for a site that the community can rally behind and support. So a developer is not running something up the flagpole and spending $100,000 or more just to get shot down, a lot more than $100,000. And it would allow us to articulate a vision, demonstrate its market viability, and then visualize what it would look like contextually on a site, not only for the development community, but for officials, residents, whoever. Then a developer knows it's real. We're not dictating what has to go there. We're demonstrating market viability and community acceptability. That's a win-win. If we can demonstrate those and stand behind them, a developer is much more likely to say, you know what? You're willing to do something like that? I'm throwing my hat in the ring. That could be pretty cool. That's the intent of something like this, and it would be required. We'd be working with you guys to develop those concepts. But the intent is different. The intent would be to demonstrate the potential of a site that would be acceptable in nature to River Forest, and we could do that. So a little bit different than Glen Ellyn and a little bit different from Morrisville, but utilizing the same tool. Morrisville was kind of that. Glen Ellyn's a little different.
So I think, you know, when we're looking at River Forest, you know, clearly we don't do all of River Forest, though that would be cool. I think what you do is you certainly look at the one that pops out is the one that would probably need it the most, because, you know, we want to make sure we're spending the money wisely. And, you know, I don't know if it works for like one area, you know, so on Madison right there, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. It's possible. But one area for sure, I think North Avenue, you know, that whole corridor there is one where there's just so much that needs to be done there. And to be able to map that out, to be able to show what the different possibilities are that are pretty drastic from what's there currently. You know, there's a lot going on here, right? And I don't want to mix, you know, the first part is really the zoning map, what we're able to do there. I just think it would be just very useful to be able to show our zoning committee. I really like personally, And I wish, hopefully we'll have a chance, if you're able to make it, maybe we can make it a meeting that we have there. I know we have constraints on how many of us can meet together, unless it's not an official and announced meeting, which is, it is what it is. But I think we'd be impressed if we're able to see their interactive aspects of this at John's office. Then, you know, we have to, once we see that, I think we got to determine, okay, this is a awesome tool, you know, where is it cost effective for us, where does it make sense to utilize, and how do we utilize it? Those are my
yeah answers. I have a question, John. I'm curious. For one, really impressive, and honestly, back to what I said before, exactly kind of what we were hoping to achieve, to sort of demonstrate a viable, you know, development opportunity. I was thinking of North Avenue as well, because boy, that's challenging, right? Some shallow lots and limited parking and some other things, you know, but where most of that property is privately held, what have you seen maybe in Morrisville or others where you're doing a 3D rendering of a property that the village doesn't control? Do you reach out to the property owner? Have you said, hey, do you want to participate in maybe the cost of to produce this rendering? Kind of curious what your thoughts are when you're doing something that's on property that's privately held.
Yeah, that's a good question. We do a lot of that. I'd say the level of participation and or support varies. One of the biggest challenges for local economic development is local property owners. And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. Firm and proud believer in property rights. That drives the U.S. That said, there are the property owners that are like, yeah, you know, I'd love to leverage my property as an investment. It's been tired. You know, I'd love to see what maybe some property assembly would result in. You know, every once in a while I get a bite, but, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing. They'd be like, yeah, you know, it's non-binding. It's not regulatory. Let's see what the potential is. And, you know, and others are like, you know, I've owned this property for 35 years. I live in Naples. I don't even live in town anymore. Don't bug me. It's, you know, I don't want to participate. That said, a lot of communities, even when a developer, a property owner does or doesn't want to, the village is like, we want to see what the potential is, you know, so we'll go through this exercise. So Wally, it's all over the place. 85% of property owners do not have any problem with it because it's a visualization exercise, a potentials exercise. So they're like, yeah, let's no skin off my back. Let's go. We have had some property owners that said, I'd like to work with the community to try to see what we can do. And if I can help participate, even financially, I will. So it really varies a lot, you know, and again, it's a majority of people for this, though, are really generally supportive, even property owners that are doubtful or don't think anything will happen. They're usually your game to participate.
Got it.
Is there a way, I mean, we're just providing public information. Is there any rights that they have to not allow us to put their structure?
No.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, yeah, so it's not, they're not like floor plans or exact, you know, building plans. It's not, they're procedurally modeled renderings. The what it's typically driven off of, for any of you geeks out there that maybe it's LIDAR, and LIDAR is an enriched data set that comes with GIS where you can sort of determine edge of pavement and roof lines based on shadows and ridges. It's pretty, or change of pavement or material. It's pretty complicated, but it's LIDAR, which is a data set that can be extracted that will generate a lot of the base information for 3D procedural analysis at this at the citywide level. So it's publicly available data.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, you know, so it's not anything that they could say, I don't want you showing it. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. Hey, John, it's Tim. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. And we've had some discussions prior, you know, when we were doing Lake and Park. I think the village has an obligation, if you will, I think, that in the comprehensive plan and all that, to show potential. And I think that's exactly what we're doing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Every village has that right. It is a useful tool. It's a great tool for that. I, in our experience in visualizing for landowners that are not necessarily in it, or, you know, usually even then I find that they'll come on board, because it's usually, I'm not sure why they'll pay, but they will definitely, you know, a lot of times if you're helping them add value through visualization and maximization of, you know, FAR and all that kind of stuff, they usually come on board.
Right.
And then a lot of as we've talked before, some of the problems we've had with a lot of the RFPs, Lake and Park, is about control. And devoid of control, how else can you control is actually having MOUs to market on their behalf. And we, you know, I mean, this is a way to kind of get to some of those things, because in the end, it's only enhancing their property, most likely, you know. And so it's.
You're exactly right. And to real quickly, if we remember back, this may predate some of you in terms of your awareness of it, but the Lake and Lathrop entitlement concept process goes way, 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 way back. It's we know what the current version of the manifestation of that effort is right now that's underway. But way back in the day, I found some old files where we pulled and prepared an information half page or quarter page advertisement for Crane's business in Chicago, advertising that site and directing interested developers to come to a developer summit at the Village Hall here. I hosted it with, it might've been Chuck Biano and Steve Gutierrez back in the day, I think. And we handed out information packets, and we had in the developer solicitation for RFP interest, developer interest, we represented sites and we just said, the village doesn't own this. The village doesn't own that. The village owns this one piece. And, you know, and it's not uncommon to represent in an interest or an opportunity exercise to the development community properties that are not under the control of the village, as long as you clearly identify and articulate that.
Yeah. And I think it's also, I think it's an incredible tool to exactly what you said, to show developers what we think the realm of possibility is. And kind of what we like to see, and not being prescriptive, but because it takes away risk. It takes away, it's your
right.
Exact point. You know, if I know what you want and you're willing to accept four floors or, you know, three story, whatever, you know, it's an incredible tool. It's proactive planning the way we've had this conversation, but what cities should be doing, they should be leading development.
Right. Yeah, here's what we want it to look like. Yeah.
Right. And what it does is it establishes at least some level of what we call fair certainty.
Yes.
With it, some fair level of reasonable expectation, what you can do with your property before you're committed to doing it or deterred from doing it. And likewise, it gives residents a sense of fair certainty as to what can be done to the property next to the property they own.
Exactly. So
it's very helpful. It's not an assurance. It's not entitlement. It is not a proposed development. It visualizes viable intent. And I think that's a really valuable thing.
Yes.
Well, I mean, especially, you know, again, when you look at, you know, I think Lake and Park, there's probably makes some sense there. When you look really at Madison, it doesn't take a ton of imagination, you know, six stories, you know, retail, residential, however you want to cut it up. It would probably make sense there. On North Avenue, where it's a hodgepodge of different buildings, residential, you know, I mean, you would need all the imagination in the world to come up with some ideas there, right? So to be able to put something down on North Avenue, look, this, and you could even have, we can even map it out. This is what we want it to look like. Here's ideally what the zoning would allow, you know, aesthetics aside, all along that corridor. And we could, you know, right now when we have zoning, committee's ear, which we will, we could talk to them exactly. Let's have a plan for North Avenue. And then we could really, over the next 10, 15, 20 years, change that area the same way Elmwood Park did. I see, you know, we have our obstacles, but this is a great vehicle to be able to start that process.
So there's two, I'm not able to even get the other thing running on my laptop. I apologize. But I guess there's two scales of what I want the Economic Development Commission to be thinking about. One is the village-wide platform that would accommodate sort of a cross-pollinated index of zoning, parcel information, pending developments, approved development, development potential opportunity sites, whatever, in this ArcGIS urban 3D platform for the whole village. It's something that could be done and rolled out, and it could be the new way land-based and development-based information is disseminated for the Village of River Forest on an ongoing basis. That's the one thing.
Yeah.
The other thing that I did showed in Morrisville, and I apologize for not being able to get Glen Ellen up and running on my laptop, is if we wanted to be even a bit more proactive in detail, saying here are five key sites. There's a couple on Madison, three or four up on North Avenue. We've gone through the effort of pulling together some immersive 3D experiences with data-driven dashboards. So anybody in the village, anybody, development community, anybody could jump in and play around in that sandbox to see what the potential is of that site. That's another type of project. And I think, Kyler, to your point, if we wanted to do both, we may be able to marry them so that on the one urban platform for the whole village, and you clicked on one of the flagged opportunity sites, in the dashboard off to the left-hand side right, would be a hyperlink to the immersive environment that you could play around in.
Did I just come up with that idea for you? All the brains you have in that wonderful office, and I'm spitballing ideas?
Yeah, I'm going to take credit for it, though. So it's like it never happened.
That's fair. So we'll get this right just back down to the what's the big idea, all those great ideas you stole from me right before I spit them out. What we can do is we can recommend or not to the trustees. Right. I think it's something, you know, obviously the question is going to be cost. You know, what does it mean to the village? And I think we need to break it up, you know, in terms of, you know, there are two separate things that are married together, right? I mean, so I think we need to be clear about that. I don't want to speak out of turn. I think it's a very useful tool. Both of them are, but you know, obviously you would make a recommendation or not to the trustees, and that would be their decision to move forward or not.
Go ahead, Raj, sorry.
I think it's a useful tool as long as we tie it, well, not as long as we tie it, but at least in terms of presenting it to the trustees, in terms of tying it to an immediate need that they have, as in, is it this property across Village Hall, or is this corner the property that the village has acquired where the Lutheran, whatever that on Madison, that place is to
try to find a service.
Yeah. If we can kind of use, you know, if we can leverage what is coming with this tool to be, I don't know whether you call it a roadshow, to generate interest so that we can get those properties moving. Because I think, isn't that one of the main goal, not one of the main goals, but that's an immediate goal of the village, that they want to get these things off their books.
North Avenue is certainly.
I would take it further.
Yeah. So when you take a look at everything that's being considered, right, you have the corridor of North Avenue, the corridor of Madison, you know, even to a lesser extent, the corridor of Harlem and Lake is what's contemplated when we did the corridor studies. And you have all of the other changes that we're proposing to go into the zoning ordinance. The really great thing about this is this tool that John's providing is, as we're reviewing all of the changes that need to happen to the zoning ordinance, that we can use this tool to be able to show in real time and in real circumstances what the impact of that zoning change has within those corridors, and or even, and understand to a much lesser extent what happens in the single family zoning areas, right? You know, there, we don't expect there to be substantive changes right. within that area, but there still probably are some changes. Right. So we're able to show everybody what that means. And so, so it does have an immediate application for us. And in that regard, and here's the other question is, we'd really like to lean on you as a committee and a commission to kind of help take the lead on getting those changes done in the zoning ordinance.
And I will say, in terms of the most urgent application, is the ArcGIS 3D Urban that I showed you. That's a scratch the surface of something we put together real quickly. You can use that to test, like if we could use that not only to showcase zoning once it was adopted and thought through, we can use that to test zoning as we're developing it. So we can use that to test 35 feet, 40 feet, 50 feet, 60 feet, 75 feet. We can do that in urban, 3D. We can do shadows. We can do unit counts. We can do parking demand. We can do height to parapet. We can do all of that in urban as a tool to help develop the zoning, not just as a tool to catalog zoning once it's adopted. So it's not an end game tool. It's a process. It's a procedural tool to help us get to the end game. We're doing it right now, God, in so many cities in California to help them meet their housing requirements. To give you an example, in California, the state housing regulations is called RENA, regional housing. And what they do is the state can go to a community like, any community, West Riverside. And they can say, based on our calculations, the city of West Riverside or Claremont, you're 100% built out. There is no vacant land. You're a town of 48,000 people, Claremont. You have to come up with 3,800 new residential units in the next 10 years. And they're like, we're 100% built out. We got to come up with 3,800 new units? It's because there's such a housing problem in California. And they're like, if you don't come up with a plan to show how you're going to do that, you're not going to get state funding for anything. So they have a real big hammer. They're called RENA requirements. And for years, cities have not been able to meet them. So we built on top of urban a script application, and we've developed an application that we can apply to a city. And in 3D, we can identify the sites that are the most likely candidates for residential redevelopment and show them on their different scenarios what their residential unit count yield would be. And we can automate all that. So cities are now beginning to meet their state requirements and they never used to before. And because they're using urban as a way to determine zoning going forward, not just to document zoning once it's established. So we can do the same thing here. We can test sites, test the corridors, test the commercial areas and districts to see what zoning might work best where, tested through urban, and then we could use that to help write the code.
Yeah.
It seems like another, I guess, application for this is to the, I can't even visualize North Avenue at this point. I can visualize the church there and the grocery store, but I cannot even visualize what's next to it. But it seems like it's some way to unlock value there for the people who own that property, so that they are willing to turn it into something else. Is that it? Because it's privately owned, right?
Yeah.
I'll respond that I think my understanding of a lot of the goals of this commission is, how can we maximize for the village opportunities to raise revenue and increase our tax base, to provide, better amenities for the community, just make it more attractive in general. So in my mind, I think, John, those two applications, if you will, the one about sort of developing zoning, that I'd sort of, hand that back to others who know what kind of requests that the village gets, how much of an issue is that, or how much of it is a challenge that they have to deal with, that we need this sort of really cool 3D zoning ordinance, But for the commission, what we have focused on is, identifying these properties that are just sitting there that could use, proactive plans, and you know, as you said, you know, plans with a level of fair certainty. So to me, those are, this cost of this is an investment, and we should be able to see a long term a return on that if those get redeveloped and they generate taxes.
And we can see exactly, you know, when it comes to the cost. You know, we will, John, I'm sure, will put something together for us, but I'm not exactly sure how long. We got to see where that falls under, if it's actually even the trustees. You know, is this something that's an operational cost that comes over time? You know, does it run up through Brian? So I think there's a little bit of, we need to understand that to some degree.
And I think, John, you already identified the source. And I would say we already have our marching orders. It's really the TIF corridors. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the TIF, is to build increment to then apply to development. And thus far, we have a general sense from the comprehensive plan, but we haven't done that next step, which is really like really looking at some of these parcels, translating the vision into, you know, real development opportunity, promoting opportunity. And I think that's what, I mean, we have individual priority sites within that, but I think we really got to look at the corridors and marry the TIF, the whole formation of the TIF district to something like this. It's right. To your point, Kyler, that, you know, we need to know what our 10-year vision is really on these corridors, because that's our opportunity.
Right.
And it's TIF eligible. It's a professional fees are TIF eligible. Is exactly what, you know, again, there's a source, you know, so not to use our TIF dollars, but
the comprehensive plan anticipated, and not only anticipated this initiative, but pushed for it pretty strongly. The comprehensive plan clearly states that we should be exploring the zoning in our commercial districts to see if we should be amending it to accommodate taller, more intense, more robust, multifamily, mixed use, et cetera, et cetera. That's in the comprehensive plan, and it's been it's predicated by the fact that every development review board PD application in the last 22 years
it's required a variance, right?
That has required mixed use or multifamily. I think maybe with the exception of one, has needed a density site development allowance and a height site development allowance, and if not FAR setback and parking, but for sure height and density, because and it's a disservice to residents, because residents look at the zoning that they need, the developers need relief from, and say it's clearly too intense, it's clearly too tall, it's clearly too dense residential density, because it doesn't meet our zoning. And when you come back and say our zoning hasn't been updated in 30 years and it's just out of whack, which is why every development gets relief and seeks relief, that doesn't develop, residents don't like it. There's no fair certainty of that if every development application has to be figured out on a case-by-case basis.
Makes
we should have some level of fair certainty for residents and developers. And right now there's none. Every development's a crapshoot, because developers have no idea what the village is going to say when they need a 50% increase in density and a 22-foot height waiver. There's no anticipation as to whether it's going to get support or not. None. And every development proposal is a case-by-case run it up the flagpole. Everyone. And everyone, except for maybe one, has gotten the approval that's gotten built has needed a height and density waiver. Almost everyone in 20 years. That's an indication that your code isn't right.
Broke. Bob, I heard you speak earlier. I wanted to make sure. I know you're having a little bit of computer difficulties. Was there something you wanted to add?
I have two items. One, the cost structure, which you brought up. I would not recommend this committee propose anything to the village board until there's a clear understanding of front costs and continuing costs.
Agreed.
Second, when you take like North Avenue, I have a big concern. Well, take North Avenue as an example, where you have condominiums, apartment buildings, a school. When any party can get on the software and start developing blocks or sections of blocks or multiple blocks, for a resident or an owner of a property, and you hear about this or see it in some form, and you haven't been actively involved in this, or it's a surprise, I have a little concern of
how invasive we can be with this if we don't kind of control who has access to this. But everything I've heard, I like the concept. I just don't know if there's going to be a control on this, that we don't raise people's blood pressure over they're going to do something to my property. And I'm really not involved in this. What are they doing this, period? So those are my two concerns.
I completely agree with both. I think open communication, you don't want to make sure anyone's feeling like they're being left out or something's happening that the village, especially these days, oh, the village is doing this and that. We would need to make sure that communication, I assume those things that would take place, but I definitely think it's great. We need to make sure all those little things, it's a neat toy. We all want to play with it. We need to make sure all those little things that might cause problems down the road are handled and upfront.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. First of all, both of your points could not be more spot on. And I want to take them one by one. As opposed to a decade ago or even 20 years ago, the sensitivity around the existing residential on North Avenue or anywhere in the village is way more heightened now than it was. Going one step further, even in the comprehensive plan, it clearly states that one of the strategies for affordable housing is to preserve and protect the more affordable or modest housing that we currently have. And the corridors are targeted specifically for, even if we might have limited opportunity to develop new affordable housing, we need to do a little bit more to protect and enhance the affordable housing we do have. So that makes the residential issue on North Avenue even more sensitive. We had to be careful about showing redevelopment on sites that should not be redeveloped. We have to be very sensitive of that. And to your point about anybody getting in here and beginning to play with it, there's an outward-facing side to this where people can view it, but not everybody can jump in and play with it. And that's really important. So it's like the village's GIS that they have online now.
Please explain that again. If they can get in, what does this mean? I'm not following you.
Well, I thought you were saying
that anybody could, just can't jump in, but it's accessible to...
Can't manipulate...
Yeah, so anybody can view it like what I showed you in the little video, or like I said, even the village's existing GIS, it's very data rich for every parcel. Anybody can get in and view that, but not everybody can get in and manipulate it. So if we put the system on board, anybody can log in and see what's the zoning, what's the existing buildings. Does the Economic Development Commission have a couple of concepts that they want to show on sites to let people know? It doesn't mean anybody can use this platform, jump in and just start 3D rendering sites. That's not at all it. The back end on who can manipulate it is very locked down. It's open-ended on who can view it, and that's totally different. So the village would be able to go in, and if they wanted to manipulate or create renderings, they're not going to put it out there until they're ready for people to view it. But a resident or a developer wouldn't be able to just jump onto this thing and start playing around with it. They could view stuff. They couldn't manipulate it or create stuff on it. So yeah, it's not, I wanted to make sure that was clear.
So within the village, we can use the tool within the village, not lay people, but within the village, they can use the tool to see how zoning changes can impact usage. Is that one thing they can do with the information?
Sure. If the village creates the information and puts it out there for people to view and consider, the village is the gatekeeper. The village can put something out there to be viewed, or they can put something out there for people to play with. It's up to them, but it's not going to be a system where, let's say, for example, Madison Street between Lathrop and Ashland. The Economic Development Commission works with us, and we come up with a couple of 3D development potential analysis sort of renderings to show people kind of what could go there. I'm just thinking out loud here. And there's a couple of them. There's a scenario A, scenario B. And you're like, either one would work. I wonder what people think about these. You could put it out there on the platform. Cool. Residents could view it. They could look at it. They could look at it from any angle. They can walk through it. They could do whatever. They couldn't manipulate it. They couldn't create their own. They could view it and comment on it. But the village is the gatekeeper of that content. People would not be able to come on here and create their own content that might freak people out or alarm people or show development representation on other people's properties. You couldn't do that.
And typically,
the village could lock that down. That wouldn't happen.
Yeah, this is car precedent. Typically, who would make that decision? Would be the board, the village board would decide some of the things that you're mentioning. Who would have access? Let's get scenario A, scenario B, and you know who sure. could do what.
Sure. Think of it like it's just a different tool. Think of it like back in the good old days where you had a concept and you held a Village of River Forest resident open house at Lincoln School Gymnasium. And you had easels spread all over with big posters on them of different ideas, different development concepts. People would come in and they'd mingle. They'd see Wally standing next to one. They'd be, hey, Wally, can you walk me through scenario A? And they'd see Kyler standing in another one and say, hey, Kyler, what's different about concept B versus over where Wally is in concept A? And they'd be pointing to the poster and whatever. And then, you know, on the way out, there'd be like a little table that says, leave your comment. Which concept did you like best? Do you have concerns? Well, this is now the immersive version of that. We're still controlling the content. We're controlling the format or the forum. Those posters would not be able to be printed and put on easels at Lincoln School for an open house unless the plan commission or the village board or the village staff authorized the printing and the conducting of that open house. Same thing, it's just virtual, but same concept.
The ability for the villagers to be able to look at what this is going to look like and not make that meeting, you know, because how many times is there follow-up questions, someone missed this or that? You know, I just think of how much easier the development on Lake and Lathrop would have been. You know, there was so much concern over what's it going to look like? What's the shadows going to look like? Which is just an amazing thing that does come up more often than not. You know, for the people where my parents live in Centennial House, everyone on the west side of that building was pretty pissed. You know, what is, because they didn't know, what is it going to look like? So the ability to be able to see this in 3D and be able to show, control what's shown. You know, obviously we could tinker all you want with the different developers. Here's what developers are saying. Here's what it's going to look like. And then here are the 3-4 ideas we have. And then to be able to show that to a group, receive information. I think we got to be a little bit careful how many different voices we want to entertain. Everyone's going to have an opinion on this or that. It would make things so much easier in so many different ways. It's really neat. Anyways, in the interest of time,
and one last quick comment to tie Katie's Excel sheet in. John, have you taken this further where you actually go beyond just parcels and buildings, but actually have tenants, where it's a tenant registry, if you will, which is beyond landlord. It's actually who's there, what's the square footage of space. It almost becomes like all of that then. You could see almost a platform too, where you could, well, there's a rental space over here, 3,000 square feet on that building.
You totally could, and I guess, first of all, that's the right kind of thinking. I don't want to, and this is what we do in our firm, and it's one of the reasons why I like doing what I do, is I view every engagement with a client as, let's not just do what other people are doing and doing well. Can we add value to it, do it in a different way, or make it even more robust? But the next person is saying like, oh, look what River Forest did. No one's doing that. Could we do that? Absolutely, we could do that. One of the things we might want to do is, an economic development database. Yeah. Who's here? How many employees do they have? Well, how much square footage do they lease? You know, we'd have to look into that, but there is so many different things you could do. You could cross-reference this by eating establishment versus grocery versus office versus medical. There could be drop-down tabs for economic development, sales generation. You could make this the most robust and cross-reference database. The only limitation is what we want to come up with. That's the bottom line. We get to reinvent and invent what we want this to be for River Forest. And I'm telling you, this will be the lighthouse for the next city. Somebody's going to say, you see what River Forest is doing? We want to do that. Then they can try to do more. But don't think about I've just shown you the tip of the iceberg on this stuff. I want this to be what it needs to be for River Forest. That's what should define what this ends up, what we want it to be and think it can be. We'll make it happen, but let's think about what we want it to be for River Forest. Economic development is something that just does not get leveraged enough tied back to data sets and land use. And now we have a platform to tie all this together in such a robust data set, a you know, it'd be a dream come true for a developer or investor, or it would just be phenomenal. And I think we can establish what will be the new bar, to be honest.
I could honestly listen to this guy talk for like weeks. I told him before, every time I'm leaving a meeting with him, I want to run through a wall and just, but I think we do need to make sure that we're working at all the possible negative outcomes of this as well.
Hey, John, has Morrisville or Glen Ellen beat us to the opportunity to tell Esri, hey, could you give us our subscription for free and then we'll serve as the model as you go market this thing?
It's funny. They gave us the urban license for free, which is why we picked River Forest to start modeling all this stuff out even before River Forest had the license, because we wanted to begin to test what this thing could do. And now it's even at versions beyond what we did when we did River Forest. So we're in a unique position with Esri. So.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, I was thinking of it as I was seeing it, thinking you could add anything to this. You could add traffic flow and overlay, anything that we want to make it a marketing brochure.
Just a matter of pulling it. I mean, it's
Walter, if you know, sadly, we weren't able to show the next iterations that are out there. So to see that, it's exactly to what you're getting at. Yep. The level of detail is absolutely fantastic on what it can be. So, and I think, Kyler, what you're trying to get at is let's wrap up tonight, but let's plan for another meeting. So, we'd love to, figure out a good time for a showcase down at your office, John.
Yeah. Right? Anybody wants to come, we will. And I'll have, I'm the Phil Jackson. I'm not the Michael Jordan. I've got an office full of Michael Jordans. And what I'd like to do is get you guys, anybody wants to come down to our office in Chicago. It's funny, I see Wally walk by every day. Wally, when you walk by the Starbucks at Wells and Randolph, I look by and see you walk by. South side of the street. My office is right there. But that way, on pricing, on tech questions, or could we do this, could we do that? I'll have the guys in my office who are literally, and I'm not exaggerating when it comes to City Engine and Unreal, the top in the world at what they're doing. And they're in my office, and I'm lucky that they're there. But if they're in the room with you, they can answer any question. They won't be, and if it's in our office, I won't have a hard time like loading the software up on a laptop because we have it running on screens all over in our office.
And John, I think that's a great idea, and also encourage anything that the committee could circulate around cost and use and payback and case studies. So that'd be a more informed session versus just getting, you know, additional kind of exposure, just so it's a little more structured.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So when we do go down there, this will be a little bit more professional than what we had to go through today. This wasn't your best pitch, I'll be honest with you.
I apologize.
Being able to upload everything.
But the enthusiasm
came in late off of a train, and we didn't have the software set up or anything. So we'll give him a break. Let's do this then. So John, if it's okay, I'll have you pick tell us a time that works out well with your group. We'll send it out to the committee, see who on the committee can make it. If we end up having what would be a quorum, then we'll publish it as an official meeting so that we meet the Open Meetings Act requirement. But if it's less than the quorum kick, then we'll just treat it as a road trip. Does that sound like a fair approach?
Yeah, maybe the only thing I'd advise there is maybe if there's a few dates so we could do some sort of Google Doc. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, whatever.
And our office is right above a bar, so if the meeting goes well, or if it doesn't, we go right down below and
we'll just start
either, celebrate or commiserate. One of the two.
I heard there were beers already involved, and we're immersing into the game, right? And we're all
I like the way you're thinking. Fit right in.
Well, all right. Just for the sake of this, again, thanks, John, for coming.
Very
here.
Very well done.
The village. Yep, great job.
Glad to be here. I'm lucky because I absolutely love what I do. But I tell you, it's even more fun to be able to do it for the town you live in. It's just, it's what you hope you have the opportunity to do. So
for anyone who will listen, I always praise you. And to other people, I praise you to your face. I put you down. That's how I show love. But really, You're a village treasure, and so we're so glad that you put the hat. Ugh, feels hucky saying nice things to your face. But if, to go through the agenda, other business?
I'm no other business tonight, and no executive session.
Great. Yeah, so we'll look, so just put a bow on it. Brian, we'll look to hear from you on some possible dates that we can do a field trip. You know, for the sake of all of us getting down there, let's throw it a few weeks out just so we can, I mean, I think we're going to have a tough time if we do it in a week or two with everyone's schedules. So
yeah, I'll throw out multiple dates. I've got a few conferences coming up that I'm going to be presenting at. So I'll throw out a few dates over the course of a few weeks. It doesn't have to be next week or I'll throw out several options over the course of a few weeks.
Perfect. Okay, and we'll get those out and see what works out best for everybody. So, great. We'll need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
Okay, I'll take that from, and I need a second then.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You're welcome to stay, but the rest of us are leaving.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.